Well, I don't think Barry tells us how the turtle dove got its name, but someone who has been pondering the names of things this month is Maggie Gallup. She's been searching out some unusual monikers for our towns and villages. Here's Dorothy with Maggie's musings.
I've often thought that I would like the job of naming villages and towns. I'm sure I would make a better job of it than whoever had the role in days gone by. The history books tell us why these odd names came about. Often in medieval times, when words seemed to have been in short supply, and everything got named after the lord of the manor. Take Ashby Dullar Zouche, for instance. This village in Leicestershire, until about 1250, was just called Ashby. That's acceptable. Ashby is a nice little name. But along comes Mr. La Zouche and buys up the place and decides that from then on it will be known as Ashby de la Zouche. Another oddity is Donkey Town in Surrey. This originates from a local term of the day. In 1815-ish, it was decided that there weren't enough houses for the labouring poor, so more were built on land near the village of Cobham. Donkey was a local term for labourers, hence Donkey Town. Other madnesses are Loose Bottom, Bunny, Bess's O' the Barn, and Wet Wang. One of my very favourites is A, spelt A-E, which is a village in the southwest of Scotland. It seems whoever named this village preferred not to use consonants. A is one of the youngest villages in Britain, only founded in 1947, but had been populated for many years before. Robert Chambers wrote that the locals were long famed for broils, battles and boxing. He continued, "These lads of A had a reputation for cudgel playing and boxing at every fair and wedding that was held. I think they liked to fight." But closer to home, we have a few beauties of our own. Crabgate, Dumpling Green, Fustyweed, Norton Subcourse and Puddle Dock are some of the crazier names that abound in Norfolk. The internet will always give a good explanation, and it nearly always comes down to the Saxons or some landowner that fancied his name being recorded forever. We continue to name new places after people today, but not because they are wealthy landowners. Local to me is the village of Thorpe Marriott. Thorpe means a group of houses or village, but the Marriott bit is named after William Marriott. He was a fascinating man. Born in Switzerland in 1857, he was orphaned and brought to England, where he was educated. He became a civil engineer and locomotive superintendent of the Eastern and Midland Railway. He spent many years improving the line and developing the use of reinforced concrete. Marriott was appointed traffic manager in 1919 and remained in that position until his retirement in 1924. He died in Sheringham in 1943. He was a local hero and deserved that his name be remembered for his achievements. Marriott's Way is the 26-mile footpath from Norwich to Aylsham and follows the path of two Midland and Great Northern lines and is also named after him. When I married, there wasn't really the option of keeping your own surname. You automatically took your husband's name. Given the opportunity, I would definitely have kept Tobin in preference to Gallop. But then what name do you give your offspring? A hyphenated name? Actually, I sort of did that. I couldn't think up a second name for my two sprogs, so they both got Tobin as their middle name. We at the WI rather like our oddities and our unusual names. We have been known to take one WI, join it with another to make a larger one. This can cause an issue, however, when you have to write a cheque for Barford, Ramplingham and District. There's never enough space, and it takes forever.
Thank you, Dorothy. And certainly if one travels around the country, one does come across some unusual place names. I remember once going through a village called No Name. Completely bizarre.